It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Marjorie Fiore, your guest host for today's show. Today, we're turning the tables and interviewing Suzanne Oshima. Suzanne's a life and love transformational coach at Your Next Amazing Story. And today we have a great topic. Today's topic is the three things that'll push the right man away. Suzanne, before we jump in, I'd love for you to share with the audience who you are and who you serve and why.
Sure. I help single women transform midlife into their best life and find love again in their next chapter. The reason why I do that is because, you know, for women in midlife, I find that sometimes society makes us feel like we're forgotten or makes us feel like it's too late for us. And the truth is, it's never too late. It's never too late to create your next amazing love story. So I really want all women to realize that.
Oh, you are so needed. And, you know, we all know nobody ever said dating was easy, but it can be especially challenging, number one, at this age, at this midpoint, but especially if you kind of feel like, okay, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to do everything I can to meet the right man. And maybe you think you've met him, a good one at least, but you all of a sudden you realize he's starting to kind of pull away. And you think to yourself, oh my gosh, was it something I said? Was it something I did? Is it him? Come on, which is it, Suzanne? Help me out.
It's all of the above. You know, it could be, honestly, it could be any of those things, right? And one of the things that I will tell you, Marjorie, that always breaks my heart is that when a man does pull away, what breaks my heart is I find all too often that women all of a sudden look inward and become the self-critic and start to say, oh my God, like you said, was it something I said? Was it something I did? And then she thinks maybe I'm not attractive enough, or if they've had sex, she may think maybe I'm not good in bed, right? And so we can go anywhere with that thought process. And the truth is, sometimes, you know, it may have nothing to do with her. It may have to do with him. He may be emotionally unavailable. It could be anything. But here's what I will tell you is that there are definitely things, because we can't control men. Let's just get clear on that. You cannot control a man. Is there are some things.
I try all the time. It doesn't work.
Marjorie, you crack me up because it's true. It's, you know, I think we all have tried at some point in our life. And no, the truth is, no one likes to be controlled. But here's the thing. We can't control ourselves and the things that we do and how we react. And what I have found is that, you know, sometimes there are things that will definitely push a man away that a woman may not be aware of.
You know what? And I think that before we get to those actual specific things, I was just thinking when you were talking about this, that we also need to like look at our own perspective, because a lot of times maybe we do jump in and then we realize, you know what, I need to work on myself first, and it's nothing about the other person. But yeah, as women, we automatically think, oh, I should probably have lost 10 more pounds before I did this, or I should have done this, or I should have thought of some good jokes or had something really fun. And, you know, something that really puts pressure on us to be not our natural selves. So I think if we keep that perspective, like, you know, maybe you have met a great person and it wasn't the right time in your life. And it's totally with them or with you at the time, but not about you. But I know that we do. Our first tendency is like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? And, you know, you almost feel desperate, and we've got to stop that. So cut to the chase. Give us those three specific things that'll definitely push them away.
Before I jump into the three, here's what I want to say, because you brought up a really, really great point is, you know, sometimes a woman will say, well, maybe I should have lost those 10 pounds. It's not the 10 pounds, because it's about that strong foundational piece that mm-hmm. you have within you. And that if you love yourself, then the right man can love you too. But you have to first love yourself, love your body. And it, like I always say, it begins from within. Right.
Yeah, because that confidence is so attractive. Like the other stuff falls away when somebody's so okay with themselves, even if it's a quirky sense or whatever, like that's attractive to most of us. Like, wow, they are so, you know, cool with themselves and can be who they are, because we all know when somebody's putting on their best front and their best behavior. And none of us want that, especially at this point in our lives. Like, let's just be who we are. It should be easier. It should be a natural kind of like attraction. Yeah, we should make sure we look our best and we're on our best behavior and we want to show up as our best selves, but it can't just be reduced to, like you said, a physical appearance or something you said or did wrong. So yeah, anyways.
Yeah, so one of the first things that I've noticed that can repel the right man away is a woman will say, I'm so busy. And I get it, you know, Marjorie, you and I, we are so busy, but when you're so busy, that sends the wrong message to a man. It sends the message of, I don't have time for you, I don't have time to date, and also sends the message to the universe of, I'm so busy, so I can't add one more thing into my plate, I can't have a relationship, I don't have time for it. And you know what's really interesting, Marjorie, is I always find that really busy women, right, will say to me, well, yeah, Suzanne, I am busy with my job, and I get that. We all are. But then she'll say, well, Suzanne, if the right man comes along, then I'll make the time, right? And yeah. It doesn't work that way. You have to make the time to date in order to make the time for the right man and get into that relationship. So it's so important for women to stop sending that message to men in the universe of, I'm so busy.
Well, and I think sometimes that may be like an excuse. Like to really, you know, it's can be challenging to date, and it takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy and a lot of like, oh, it's like public speaking, you know, you think you're going to talk, you just don't want to put it all out there. But I think that if you also tell yourself you're too busy, then you can say distracted. Or when you finally do go out with somebody, you're still thinking, I don't have time for this. So you're not even going to show up fully and presently, but you know, we do all make time for the things that are important to us and priorities. And we know in the end, it is love and relationships that really matter. Whether you know, are content being by yourself right now or not, we're not really meant to do life alone. And I think that you've got to make this a priority. And like you said, then the universe will conspire with you. Put that energy out there. That energy is so powerful. I'm so glad you said that, because I think a lot of people underestimate that. But you wonder why you have those days where everything goes wonderful and you have those days where everything just seems to go wrong and it's negative. It's it's matching what you're putting out in the universe. So I love that you said that about our own energy.
Yeah.
Because you know, do think it's an excuse.
And you know what's interesting, Marjorie? I'm so glad you said that. And we can sometimes use as an excuse. And I know every single woman out there is like, what? No, it's not. But this is the truth. This is truth. My business coach used to say this. When you say I'm too busy, she used to say that you have an intimacy issue. And I never got what she really meant. But if you really think about it, because then when I started to really think about it, if you're too busy, then you don't have to connect with men, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the time. And you don't have to be open and vulnerable with them because I'm so busy, right? I don't have time for this. So you're absolutely right, Marjorie, is that it can be honestly an excuse. So, you know, like I said, ladies, I know that was probably something that you didn't want to hear Marjorie say, but I invite you to really look inward and ask yourself, am I making up an excuse because I don't want to date? You know, sometimes people say, I really want to find love again, but then they're not making the time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned before on one of the other episodes that it is a numbers game. Like, you have to be willing to put yourself out there and look at your risk and your reward scenario. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're still going to be by yourself. So, okay, well, you got to at least risk it, because what's on the other side, like, it's so worth it. And you're right. It's like, it's scary for us to be vulnerable and just like, oh no, I'll just stay inside and be by myself. And that's not how we're supposed to be. And it's just really playing small with the biggest, you know, reason we're on the planet is to connect with each other and yeah. be our best versions, and then find people to spend our lives with and share, you know, precious moments with and make memories with. And I just think that, like you said before, it's a numbers game. So you've got to be willing to just have the mindset that I'm going to go out there and let the universe bring us together. So yeah. being busy was reason one, number one. What's the second?
So the second one, and this is, before I say it, it's honestly both men and women, but because mm-hmm. women are my audience, we're going to focus on women. So ladies, please don't send me emails saying, well, what about men? Because it's everybody, okay? But it's being so set in your ways, like being so rigid about the routine that you're in. Like, I only have time at this time to have a call with you, and I can only, you know, go out on a date on Tuesday nights, and that's the only night, because, you know, it's like,
I only shave my legs on Mondays. No, I'm kidding.
You're so funny. I mean, we have to laugh, but we have to really think about that. Am I too set in my ways? Do I am so stuck in a routine that I can't get out of it, and I'm only leaving this amount of space for a man to step into my life? And if we only leave this amount of space for a man to step into our life, not a lot of people are going to fit in that little space. And so we have to be flexible. And remember, this isn't about you being in a relationship with yourself. This is about you being in a relationship with somebody and doing things that work for both of you, not just you, for both of you. It's about compromise. Imagine that, Marjorie.
You know what? It's like, I'm a little embarrassed to admit, that's totally me. First time I got married, the only time I've been, and I'm still married, is when I was 44. So by that point, you know, yes, I was controlling, but I had to be. I was a single mom. It was my house. It was my job. It was my son. It was like, and it really was the mindset, like, no, you're coming into my life. We're not meeting in the middle. And it took me a long time to realize that. Thank goodness he's very flexible and I'm a really good package, but it's really eye-opening when you think, wait, we're supposed to enhance each other's lives, not just my rules or out. And it's, you know, that sounds kind of immature, but I think it was more of like a protection and defense mechanism, because I thought, I am not going to be one of those people who is married just because I don't want to be alone. But as the years went on, I'm like, well, this is crazy, but maybe I'm not meant to be with somebody. And then it happened on a blind date. But I can totally relate with that one, where it's really got to be a compromise and not just the things you want to do. And you know, you've got to remember to be his girlfriend and let him be your boyfriend the whole time, even if you're married. Like, how would you show up if you were dating once you're married, is what I'm talking about. But you know, those early days are really important. But boy, this was eye-opening for me, because as we get older, or once you've been maybe in a marriage and you're divorced or your spouse has passed away, then you probably have a little more guidelines of what you want. And we should express that. But when you get married for the first time later in life, it can be a huge adjustment.
So let me ask you a question, Marjorie. So this is interesting, because you admit it, you called yourself out that you were set in your ways and you were like, he's got to fit into my life. So you were really lucky though, because your boyfriend then, but your husband now, was really flexible and he was able to do that. Do you feel like you were testing him a little? Like, hey, if he doesn't, you know, step in, then bye.
I don't know if I was testing him. It really was bizarre that he had never been married and he had no kids, because to be in your 40s and to find somebody like that is kind of rare. Mm-hmm. And we had no like ex-spouses to deal with. We had no other stepkids that had to go here and there. So it was really the perfect match. But I think he was really he's just really easygoing. And you know, of course, the things that attracted him to me then annoy me now. I'm like, why are you so easygoing? You don't have an opinion about anything, because he knows I'm just going to say what I want to do. But I think that I don't think I really tested him. I've just got this really kind of black and white. It's either going to work or it's not. I've always been like that. There's really no gray area with me. Not that I'm like going to cut you off at the first, you know, whatever argument, but I've just always been like that. And I think he was attracted to my strong personality. But then I realized, you know, he brought out the softer side, because I'm like, here's this person that's willing to, you know, accept me and my son and really make a family together. And it was just, I don't think I was testing him. It was just kind of understood. I don't
know. Well, let me ask you a different question then.
Okay.
Now that you guys have been married for a while, do you compromise more with him, or is it still your way and he has to fit in?
I realize, you know, it's funny. It's definitely been a lot of work. But I realized that we all love in our own capacity. Like, if I, and it helps to make a pros and a cons list, but he was raised just by his dad, so he did never had another a strong female influence. So I thought, he, you know, when I think that he's not meeting my needs sometimes, I'm like, no, he loves me in the capacity that he knows how, and I've got to be okay with that. And we all have our love language, but I meant, you know, his love language is certainly different than mine, but I've got to really not dwell on those little tiny things where none of us are going to be perfect. And let me tell you, my list, you know, his list about me is probably just as long, but we realize those best things about each other. And like, my sense of security is my probably number one need above all else. You know, emotional security, financial security, but really just that trust, that's more important to me than anything. And he feels that for me. So I think we've just got to realize, you know, again, it softens me, because I'm like, man, if I look at, you know, I'll hear other people talk about their husbands, I'm like, but I'm not married to him. And so I don't really, like, that's what you either put up with, or that's how your relationship is. So it's very individual, but it's also a cool reckoning at this age that we can have the freedom to say what we want, what we need. You know, especially even if I was dating again, I would still be exactly who I am. You know, it's like, I know I'm a strong personality, but there's somebody out there for me. Thankfully right now I'm married to him, but you know what I mean? We got to be okay with that. But it's been a really kind of like self-awareness journey to even be married at this point. I really never thought I'd be married, but it's way better than not being married for me right now. It is.
Aw, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable, because I know that's not easy. But so let's go into the third thing that can push men away. And I'm laughing because I think we've all done this, is, you know, we as strong, independent women, we carry, well, everybody does, both masculine and feminine energy, right? And we as strong, independent women can carry more masculine energy than the average woman. And the thing is, it can be harder for us to step into our feminine energy in dating and relationships. And so when we're not able to leave our work personality at work, which is the masculine, right, is then it can be really hard, because we're not leaving space for a man to step into the relationship and be the man, right? Because here's what I know about strong, independent women, as strong and as independent as we are, is we still want that man that takes the lead. So then we don't have to make all those decisions, because at this point, I think a lot of us are like, man, I'm exhausted making all these decisions. And so we want that. But you have to allow a man to do that and give him the space to do it, instead of always stepping in and taking the lead and always planning things instead of allowing him to plan things, right? Or having that energy of, I don't need a man, I've got this, right?
Right.
Because that's repelling energy, right? And so it's really important for women to understand that your masculine energy, if you don't leave it at the office, it can push men away.
Well, and I think we all want to be needed and appreciated. And it's funny you said that. I just read in another over 50 women's group, just a general group, somebody posted and said, I'm dating and I always seem to have like a honey-do list for my boyfriend. Like, with a new relationship, like, oh gosh, you want to have dinner? Then can you fix the fence? Can you look at this? And the other women were saying, you know, he wouldn't offer it if he offers to do that unless he wanted to. Men want to take care of us. They want to feel like that's how they express love most of the time. So that's kind of funny. Even if we're strong women, it's almost like a breath of fresh air to relax and go, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be in charge of that. Even if it's not the way you would do it. I even read that about parenting. Like, just because it was about little kids, but it's like the mom's not always the best way. Like, as long as it gets done, and let them, praise them for whatever they're going to help you with, but they want to feel needed. They want to feel like, you're not the one that does everything the best way. And that's not a good balance in any kind of relationship. But yeah, those natural roles, whether you're a feminist or not, like there are naturally defined roles, masculine and feminine. And like I said, I spent the majority of my life up to my 40s happened to fill both roles. So I was a very strong personality, and I can do things fast, and I can do things. I'm very efficient and I'm very resourceful, but it's like, what? There's no trophy for being the best partner in the relationship, So I just think that that's a really strong point. And it's hard to do sometimes, and you've almost got to make a like a like a what I'm trying to say, like a definite effort. What's that word? Like go into it with that kind of like attempt, like be more aware of it and say, I'm gonna kick back and ask you where you want to go. It's like, whatever you think, or I trust you, or you do this, that kind of thing. But let them take the lead, and then they'll do anything to make us happy. That's all they really want too. And they're pretty simple. We make it complicated. We make it all complicated and multi-level. And then they're just like, they'll do whatever. But I agree with that. And it's a challenging thing, especially later in life, to kind of like, pull back that testosterone, that masculinity that we have, and just be like, let me enjoy being a girl. Let me enjoy being a woman and having people do things for me. And it doesn't mean we're dumb and we have to play ditzy. It just means that, we're letting them do what they do best, and it's going to benefit us in the long run.
Yeah, it's so true. So I have a question, another question for you, Marjorie,
Okay.
because you shared that you got married later in life, right? And that you were a single mom, you had your son. So, and you did everything, right? Like you handled everything. So was that hard for you to, when you were in a serious relationship with your now husband and before you got married, was it hard for you to allow him to take the lead? Did you like feel like you wanted to take the lead a lot? Or were you finally like, oh my God, I'm so glad, let him handle it?
No, it was a transition. And I think for me, I always held a little bit of, because I was a single mom, and I'm like, my son doesn't, he, it's not his choice to have one parent, up until a certain age. And I always felt not really guilty, but I felt like a responsibility. Like, I've got to be the best mom and the best dad. Like, that's my job. Like, not to have some kind of random boyfriend. And I really didn't date that much, honestly, here and there, but not a lot of serious relationships, because my focus was my son. And I'm like, okay, I've been given this blessing. It's, again, he didn't get to choose his parents. He did a good job though. But so it was definitely a transition, but it was almost like it was a relief. Like, I think my husband really just wanted to have a family unit. Like, he cherishes when we'd sit down at dinner and those kind of like traditional things he really, was craving. And it just became like a natural thing. So it was hard for me to pull back. It wasn't like, oh gosh, there's my Prince Charming. It wasn't like that. I almost probably was more protective, honestly. Because think about it, to that point, my son had never really heard anybody arguing. I mean, not that that's what we did, but I'm just saying, like, I kind of really controlled his environment. And just looking back, I can see that. Like, when we went to my best friend girlfriend's house, and her dad was there, and he was older. He was this big gruff guy, loved the world, but when he laughed, he was like, oh, and I was like, oh my gosh, Max has never heard somebody like that, and he hadn't. And by the end of the night, he's on his lap going, calling him grandpa. I'm like, that's not your grandpa, but that's okay, kind of thing. But I just really felt a responsibility to kind of keep that environment. So really, probably Max took the lead on that. And he was an easy child and lovable and so much more fun to be around. But it wasn't an easy transition. I mean, we dated for probably 4 years. And believe me, I tested him during that time. But then once we got married, I'm like, okay, well, I need to change that mindset. Like, I chose a life partner. We need to build our life together. So.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, yeah, so, I think it's important for women to really realize, it's about compromise in a relationship, right? It's not your way or the highway, and it's not his way or the highway, but it's about working through things, especially because we're all in midlife, right? And to work through those things so that it works for both parties, right?
Right. Did you have anything else that you wanted to, any fourth tip? What's a good number four?
A fourth tip would be, let me think about this. It's not what would push him away, but this is what I would say. If you're truly being the best version of yourself, right? And you really learned how to leave the masculine energy at the office, you're being flexible, right? And you're making time for dating, right? Is you will attract the right man to you, right? If he disappears or he pulls away and you really are the best version of yourself, is then he was the wrong man. Stop looking inward and criticizing yourself and becoming that self-critic of, was it something I said? Was it something I did? It probably has nothing to do with you if you truly are the best version of yourself.
Yeah, and
So,
then just move on. Like, don't dwell in that. Don't think, oh, I tried this once and it's never going to work for me.
exactly.
Well, Suzanne, this was amazing. And actually, it was so helpful because, every time, the more you know, then we can do it better the next time or just going into it. But I know that you have a cool thing that can help us with that, a free online masterclass called The Secrets to Meet a Quality Man. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how people can get registered for it?
Sure. So it's called The Secrets to Meet a Quality Man, and it's a masterclass where I'm going to share with you the number one way to meet a quality man. I'm also going to share with you what to do when online dating isn't working for you and why it may not be working for you and how to turn that around. So I know a lot of women will say to me, Suzanne, online dating doesn't work. And I'm like, yes, it does. 99% of my clients have met their match online. So it does work. It just means something's not right, going right with your profile. So tune into this masterclass. You can click on the link if you're watching the video right here on the video or below the video. And if you're listening to the podcast, you can just go to yournextamazingstory.com and click at the top of the homepage and you can register for that masterclass.
Oh, that makes it easy. That's so great. I'm so excited you have that master class. Okay, I think that's it for today. Thanks everyone for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available in both video and podcast format, which can be found at the same site, yournextamazingstory.com. You've made that easy, Suzanne. So everything is at the same yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation, get access to show notes, and get more amazing content.